Good morning, everyone. I'm going ahead and open up the Senate Committee on Judiciary. Thank you for being here on this Friday. It's our first Friday. Glad to have a whole room full of people. Unfortunately, a lot of the stuff we have on our agenda today is not ready or is not going to make it past today. So with that said, I'm going through and I'm going to have counsel make sure when I say these, if I'm wrong, please stop me. So the following bills are not going to be heard today. They will be carried over until Monday. Senate Bill 132A, Senate Bill 316, Senate Bill 397, Senate Bill 526, Senate Bill 557, Senate Bill 639, Senate Bill 694, Senate Bill 822. Those are the ones I have carrying over to Monday, the 20th. Councils, have I got all of those correct?
Correct.
Jeff?
I believe so. I'm just double checking.
Okay.
Yes, correct.
All right. So those people or individuals that are here for those bills, you're more than welcome to stay here if you have nothing better to do. But we're not going to be dealing with those today. They'll be up on Monday. Now, regarding bills that are not going to be moving forward at this point, meaning they're coming off of our docket, they will not be reposted. Senate Bill 356, Senate Bill 359, Senate Bill 849, SJR 17. Council, again, have I covered all those?
Yes.
Correct. All right. So those that are going off, what that means is that they're not going to be moving forward in the future of this session under the current bill. As you all know, there is this thing called gutting stuff. If you're able to find something somewhere else that you think you might be able to resurrect it, have fun. As they say, let the games begin. But really, seriously, on those, based on the work that we've done, we just don't think they're ready to go. Many of these that have been taken off will actually become part of the Senate Judiciary, and I assume the House Judiciary's work during the interim. I've made some commitments to some individuals on some of the bills that we will be taking these up and being shepherding them into work groups for the interim. So we're not trying to take it lightly. We're just trying to have a little bit of levity just because of all of the attention we seem to have at this time of the year. So with that, if you would like to stay, feel free to. The other bills, we're going to start moving. And some of the ones that are set for work session today that are still on, we're waiting for paperwork. And because of that, I think we're going to need to look at I think we'll go ahead and do our – do we have any that are ready right now? Yeah, we got the public hearing, I was thinking. Okay. 9-12, this one has to wait till when? All right, so just one other one, Senate Bill 912. We are wanting to move that today. Unfortunately, at this point, we can't move it until 9-13. So that's because one of the amendments that needed to be posted has been just recently posted, and we have to wait an hour before we can hear it. So that's why we're made kind of bounce around a little bit. Let's go ahead and start with a public hearing on Senate Bill 224, and I'll open up that public hearing. Laura?
Yes, Chair Przanski, members of the committee, Senate Bill 224 comes to us at the request of the Governor's Office for the Department of Human Services. We have no revenue impact and minimal fiscal impact on this bill. This is the first public hearing for it. We have no amendments before us today. So the Department of Human Services and the Oregon Health Authority possess, as required by state and federal law, state recovery programs for certain public benefit programs, such as Medicaid for long-term care recipients. When a benefit recipient passes away, DHS and OHA are required to seek reimbursement from their assets for some or all of the benefits they received, with some exceptions. The current process required to sell residential property involves the Department of Administrative Services, the Department of State Lands, and the State Land Board, as required under ORS Chapters 270 and 273. That process is complex, expensive, time-consuming, and it is tailored for larger commercial properties or large rural acreage. So, there are some exemptions currently under state law for the Department of Veteran Affairs and the Housing and Community Service Department for their home loan programs. Senate Bill 224 grants the same exception to DHS and OHA to allow them to more easily, quickly, and efficiently address the occasional real property they acquire via their estate recovery program. The Senate Bill 224 institutes an operative date of January 1st, 2016. It additionally permits DAS, DSL, OHA, and the Department of Human Services to take necessary actions before the operative date as needed. The bill has several Scrivener's changes. It declares an emergency and is effective on passage.
And I have one individual scheduled to testify, Richard Mills. Mr. Mills, why don't you come forward? While he's coming up, is there anyone else who will want to give testimony on Senate Bill 224?
Chair Brzezinski, members of the committee, good morning. My name is Rick Mills. I'm a policy analyst for the Department of Human Services Office of Payment Accuracy and Recovery. I know you folks have a very busy schedule, so I'm not sure that I'm going to waste your time repeating a lot of the things that the committee counsel had mentioned to you. I think she did a very good summary. I just would emphasize that the key thing here is that we acquire title to residential properties about two or three times a year, and we have to sell that residential property. The process that we have to go through is somewhat complex, time-consuming, and therefore is expensive. So we have requested the same exemptions that the DVA and Housing and Community Services Department have for those processes to reduce our costs and to minimize civil liability exposure by having to hold on to unoccupied residential properties until we get through all the hoops necessary to sell the property. I'm also hopeful that with these exemptions that we will be able to enter into an interagency agreement with the Department of Veterans Affairs so that they can take over the sale of these properties for us. They have an infrastructure and a lot of experience in selling these kinds of properties, and it seems kind of silly for us not to take advantage of that if we can. But unless we have the same processes to sell our properties that DVA has, that's not going to be a workable solution. So I'm happy to try to answer any questions that you may have. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Questions? I don't think, Richard, I think we got it. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 224. Open the work session on Senate Bill 224.
Chair, I move Senate Bill 224 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 224 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? So ordered. Senator Cruz will be our carrier.
Sure.
Senator Cruz will be the carrier. We'll close the work session on 224. And we're going to drop down to Senate Bill, let's see, what do you got? That one we need to wait on. You got this one here. So you got to wait for that one.
Yeah.
All right, so why don't we go with Senate Bill 641, work session.
Chair Brzezinski, we need about five more minutes based on when the amendment was posted. It's 8:58.
8:58. Okay, well, watch the clock. Hopefully it won't stop on us. All right, so we won't open up a work session on 641, but we will open one on 788.
Yes, Chair Brzezinski, members of the committee, Senate Bill 788 is sponsored by Senator Hansel at the request of Dr. Andrew Clark. We have no revenue impact and minimal fiscal impact on this bill. We previously had a public hearing on April 13th. We did at that time adopt a -1 amendment, which provided clarification that disclosure is required of protective orders between parties instead of against either party. So just a friendly reminder that currently the petitioner to sue for marital annulment, dissolution, and separation is not required to disclose whether any protective orders exist against either party. Senate Bill 788 requires the petitioner to sue for marital annulment, dissolution, or separation to disclose whether there exists in this state or any other jurisdiction a protective order authorized by law between the parties, as well as any other order restraining one of the parties from contact with the other party or with the party's minor children.
All right.
I'm ready. Okay, Ms. Chair, I move Senate Bill 788 as amended by the -1 amendment to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
All right. Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 788 as amended by the -1s to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Any objections? So ordered. And
cancels bill. So.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you for pointing that out. So we'll have Senator Hansel be the carrier on this bill. And if for some reason he's not, Senator Gelser, will you be back up?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 788. And then we will open up a work session on Senate Bill 913.
Yes, Chair Pruzanski, members of the committee. Senate Bill 913.
Talk slow.
It is sponsored by the Committee on Judiciary. This could go terribly wrong.
Yeah. Slow down, man.
We have no revenue impact and minimal fiscal impact on this bill. We did have a very lengthy, informative public hearing on this bill on March 24th. And today before us, we actually have proposed -3 amendments. At that time, we were looking at the -1 amendments. A lot more work has been done on this bill since that time. The -3 amendments, I should point out, also include any changes that were made in the -1 or -2 amendments. So African elephants and other animals such as rhinoceros have long been hunted for their ivory tusks and teeth or horns, and this has directly led to significant declines in their population. And despite decades of international and domestic intervention, populations continue to decline. Consequently, in early 2014, the Interior Department's Fish and Wildlife Service announced a virtual ban, with a few exceptions, on the trade of ivory within the United States. The United States does maintain the second largest market for ivory in the world. The federal ban, however, of course, does not affect states, and so it has provided a laundering venue with the state level for illegal ivory. Currently, Oregon law does not regulate this type of animal parts trafficking. Senate Bill 913 creates the unclassified misdemeanor offense of trafficking animal parts, including ivory, ivory product, rhinoceros horn, or rhinoceros horn product. Senate Bill 913 defines the relevant terms. It outlines prohibited conduct and exception, and it lists punishments for first, second, and subsequent offenses. Additionally, Senate Bill 913 directs the court and the State Department of Fish and Wildlife on forfeiture, transfer, and destruction of ivory. Senate Bill 913 applies to purchases, sales, offerings and possessions and imports occurring 180 more days after its effective date, according to the version as introduced. But now discussing the proposed -3 amendment, they actually narrow the bill's application, provide additional exemptions. Specifically, it removes application to hippopotamus, narwhal, walrus, and whale. It also provides exemptions for activities expressly authorized by federal law, for zoos, for certain antique guns or knives, and for certain musical instruments, as well as for the materials needed to play them. Additionally, the proposed -3 amendment extends the application date to purchases, sales, offerings, possessions, and imports occurring on or after January 1st, 2017. The bill is ready to move today.
Okay. I'm glad to hear that. All right, so let's see. Senator Cruz, are you comfortable moving the amendment?
I'll make the motions, yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Senator Cruz.
Mr. Chair, I move the -3 amendment to Senate Bill 913.
Senator Cruz moves for the adoption of the -3 amendment into Senate Bill 913. Discussion? On the amendment. Discussion, I'm just looking. On any objections? All right, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 913 as amended by the -3 amendment to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
All right, Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 913 as amended by the -3s to the floor with a due pass recommendation. discussion?
I will be voting no, Mr. Chair. Please record me as a no.
Okay. Senators, I have two senators that are voting no on this bill. We're almost there to the next bill time. So is there any other objections to the motion or to move Senate Bill 913 as amended by the dash threes to the floor? Not seeing any. So please have the record reflect Senator Thatcher, Senator Cruz are in opposition to that motion. With that, the motion carries, and Senator Hass will be the carrier on 913. All right, with that, we're really close. All right, so now we're going to go ahead and close the work session on Senate Bill 913. And based on my clock, we're waiting for the official Google clock.
What?
1 minute according to Eric's clock.
Okay.
I'm waiting for Mr. Terpening from Legislative Fiscal to confirm it's a minimal fiscal. It should be within a minute.
All right.
We can talk about that. I guess there's not much to do there.
Bill, we'll take a recess and come back in 15 minutes.
What do we have besides 641?
We have 912.
And it's the only other one. The same time frame?
It's 913.
We could do that. I mean, those are only two we got left.
Yeah, we got to take a break for 15 minutes.
Yeah, what the heck.
All right, what we're going to do, we got two bills that we want to move today just to kind of get them off the, off the dais, off the docket. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a recess, and we'll be back here at 9:15. That way we should be able to take care of both of them. I understand the 9:13 bill, actually 9:12 bill, is ready to go. We've got all of the paperwork. So we just need to wait for the time. So we'll take a recess. We'll be back here at 9:15. Thank you.
I can't talk that.
You gavel in, and I'll serve notice then, and then we can get to this, too. Okay.
All right. We're reopening the Senate Judiciary. We were in recess waiting for the time to come back so we could actually take care of some bills. Just for the record, we're now back on the record about 9:19 and a half.
Okay.
Senator Cruz.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I want to serve notice of potential minority report on Senate Bill 913.
All right, so we now have notice regarding potential minority report, Senate Bill 913. Thank you very much. And with that, we're going to go back to Senate Bill 641. I'll open a work session on that.
We're ready. Chair Fruzanski, members of the committee, Senate Bill 641 came to this committee from Senators Shields, Canope, and Representative Williamson and Huffman. The original bill prohibits public bodies from searching portable electronic devices unless there is a warrant or imminent threat to public safety, and it required the public body to return the device as soon as practicable. There is a dash six amendment before the committee, which was the product of about two meetings between DAs, OCDLA, the ACLU, Department of Justice. And what the dash six amendment does is narrow the scope to specific conduct. The dash six amendment prohibits law enforcement from forensically imaging portable electronic devices without a warrant or consent. Basically, this is aimed at wholesale data transfers with a Cellbrite machine or things of that sort when they would extract data from the phone directly. There is a minimal fiscal impact, no revenue impact. And the bill is ready to move.
All right.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash six amendment to Senate Bill 641.
Senator Cruz moves the dash six amendment into Senate Bill 641. Discussion? Any objections? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 641 as amended by the dash six amendment to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 641 as amended by the dash six amendment to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Again, discussion? Any objections? So ordered. And I think Senator Canope is who did you have who were the sponsors?
Shields and Canope.
It was Shields and Canope. That's
all right,
correct.
We'll put them both down as carriers for the bill.
Let them figure it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
They can do opening and closing.
Yeah.
And we'll go ahead and close the work session on Senate Bill 641, and we will open up a work session on Senate Bill 912.
Mr. Chair Pruszynski, members of the committee, Senate Bill 912 is sponsored by the Committee on Judiciary. We previously had a public hearing on this bill on March 30th. We do have a proposed Dash 1 amendment before us today that added some additional clarification to the bill. There is no revenue impact and a fiscal light statement on this bill. So we'll likely want to move it to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means if chosen to do so. So ownership of certain submerged and submersible lands in Oregon has been confused over time, creating clouded land titles. By request of the 2013 legislature, the Department of State Lands formed the Filled Lands Advisory Group, or FLAG, to develop a means of resolving state ownership interests in historically filled, submerged, and submersible lands. Senate Bill 912 outlines the statutory changes needed to institute FLAG's recommendations. This is a really actually technical bill. We do have a couple folks here, Dave Honeycutt and Chris Castelli, if there's any questions about it. It is ready to move.
All right, question. Senator Cruz wanted to come on up, talk about the fiscal. Give us a little bit more as to, because we're pondering why it would actually need to go.
So I'll read the analysis directly from the fiscal office. The fiscal impact statement is for the purpose of transmitting the measure from the Senate Committee on Judiciary to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. The bill directs the Department of State Lands to establish various processes with respect to historically filled lands and has a blank appropriation. The agency anticipates having a fiscal impact associated with this bill. The amount of this impact is still being determined. A more complete fiscal analysis on the bill would be prepared as the measure is considered in the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. What I can tell you is that they do expect to hire at least a couple staff positions to administer this program. They're going to have to look at titles all over the state and identify the lands that would even be brought into this program. It's going to be an extensive process and require some additional administrative help.
Well, Senator Cruz and I were on the work group. I do remember those conversations. Right. Chris, you're here. Why don't you ID yourself and just kind of tell us where y'all are at for us.
Absolutely. Good morning, Chair Pruszynski, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Chris Castelli with the Oregon Department of State Lands. I'm a policy analyst. The Dash 1 amendments is really minor and kind of just makes the bill more consistent with the FLAG recommendations. But your question was about the fiscal. A big part of this bill, Senate Bill 912, is directing the department to go forward with a statewide inventory of those historically filled lands. It defines historically filled lands in statute and then directs the department to go forward with doing all the research necessary to identify those and then notify those affected property owners that there is some state interest in those historically filled lands. So it gives us 10 years to accomplish that, and it has an appropriation section in the bill for us to get funding to go ahead and do that work. So we worked primarily with the subgroup, but kept the whole group, the full Field Lands Advisory Group, in the loop. But we kind of came up with a two-step process. And the first part would do the research on areas where there's cloud on title across the state, with the exception of the Lower Willamette River, also known as the Portland Harbor Superfund site. That's a whole different animal, so that's not included in the bill. So do the research, do the appropriate mapping using GIS, and also a lot of database data entry, because we have a pretty extensive land administration system database at DSL. And then the second part, phase two, would go ahead and start doing public workshops in affected communities. We'll probably work waterway by waterway. We'd have a project manager to go ahead and let people know what's been going on, and then do formal notifications to people that there is a cloud on title and that welcome them to come forward and hopefully work through our streamlined process for clearing title if possible.
Go ahead, Senator.
Thank you. Was this anticipated in the GRB or not? Governor's recommended budget.
Chair Pruszynski, Senator Cruz, it was not anticipated in the governor's recommended budget. And I believe when Director Abrams was up here at the public hearing, he testified, as you know, we've been directed by the governor's office that we can support the policy portions of the bill, but need to remain neutral on the appropriation piece.
Okay. I guess, and I understand that there's FTE tied up in this and it needs to go. I get concerned when we've done a fair amount of good work and it we have to depend on ways and means to make something happen. I mean, this isn't a budget buster in any way, shape, or form. So,
yeah. And Chris, if you could just, I mean, we're not going to hold you to this. It's our little secret. Okay. What do you think the range might be that's going to come back from state lands?
We did work up an estimate, and I believe it has been included with our fiscal to LFO. Well, I've got a spreadsheet. We think we can do the whole inventory and notification over two biennium for about $760,000.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't see anything but, I mean, it's not frustration. It's just knowing that we put so much time, and it's not just us, but the whole group, and it seems like we've really have come to a point where we can deal with an issue that's been impacting the state for decades, literally decades. And it is what it is. Understanding it's a couple of biennium, maybe they can phase in, because you said there are a couple of phases. And we'll just see what we can do. But I don't see any way out of not reforming.
This might require a conversation with Senator Devlin at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Just one more, Mr. Chair. You're good, Mr. Honeycutt?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Dave Honeycutt, Oregonians in Action. Absolutely. This is a great bill. And I'm hoping that the chair and the vice chair will have that conversation with Senator Devlin. This needs to get funded. It solves a decades-long problem.
Yeah. I just want that on the record.
Good.
So.
Good.
Okay.
Any other comments or discussion or questions? All right. Gentlemen, thank you all very much for coming forward.
Thank you.
Senator Cruz.
Mr. Chair, I move the -1 amendment to Senate Bill 912.
Senator Cruz moves the -1 amendment into Senate Bill 912. Discussion. Any objections? So ordered.
Chairman, Senate Bill 912, as amended by the -1 amendment to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and request the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 912, as amended by the -1s, to the floor with a due pass recommendation, but request that a subsequent referral be made to the Committee on Ways and Means. Any discussion? Any objections? So ordered. All right, so
actually, a conversation.
I was looking at Eric's already left, so that means his stuff is gone. Man, I didn't see him get out.
He's quick.
Yeah. So I think that takes care of everything. And for Monday, I think we have an 8 o'clock start, or is it 8:30?
8:30. 7.
8. I'm going to leave it at 8, just because we have a lot of stuff to work through. The goal is to see how much we can get out on Monday, trying to limit how much time we need on Tuesday. The other thing I wanted to make sure everyone understands for Tuesday, because of the paperwork, maybe just a little bit slow getting through all the different channels and stuff, we may need to recess and come back sometime in the afternoon on Tuesday, just to take care of a few stragglers, if that's the case. So please keep that in mind. I've already spoken to the president's office, saying tentatively we want to be able to do that if necessary. We hope we don't have to, but we won't know. So,
Mr. Chair, all of my committees are in that position as well, and I have a 1 o'clock and a 3 o'clock on Tuesday, and chair the 3 o'clock.
You do.
Yeah. Well, we'll work through that.
Okay.
I mean, it may be.
It could be a 5 o'clock.
Yeah,
or
4:30 or
something like that.
We'll try to. The president's office was supposed to be looking at all of our schedules just to check for conflicts and where it might work. So with that, we're going to be adjourned. Thank you all very much for being here on a Friday. Hopefully, we won't have to do too many more of the Fridays. We're adjourned until Monday, 8 o'clock.